Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. You ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Blacks won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economic. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control business and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 to 13 times for at least. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations who got the money. That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk only control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about something like about 75, 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. And so you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad mouthing you. And O'Reilly. They can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March for what? Who cares? Marching, they never changed anything.
Okay, man, we got a weird situation here today. I got two smartphones in my hand, and the main one I'm trying to reach the studio, but I was having difficulty in doing that. In any event, today's podcast is titled Rose Meta Morgan, Jim Crow Millionaire. Oh, now here we go. Okay, Rose Meta Morgan, Jim Crow Millionaire, and I'm sending out some announcements here. Rose Meta Morgan, well, first thing, we heard of, some of you have heard of Dudley Products. Well, before there was Dudley Products, his mentor was S.B. Fuller with Fuller Products. And before Fuller Products, there was Rose Meta Products, beauty products. S.B. Fuller bought part of her company from her, the products part. Okay. But before we go more into Rose Meta Morgan, who was a beauty products tycoon. She owned at one time the largest hair salon in the world. It was basically a block long, one block long, five stories high. So we're going to get back into her, but we are working on a project of acquiring 5 acres in about an hour outside of Chicago. So this is part of our morning instruction and motivation, the solar cabin, because that's what we're going to be building. So this is our daily reminder of what we have to do, not only there, but Taft, Oklahoma, and some other places as well. So we're going to play that, and then we're going to come back with more information about Rose Meta Morning.
Hi, folks. In this video, I'd like to talk about how to have a home with no house payments and no monthly utility bills. You may think that's not possible, but I do it, and lots of other people do it as well. I'm going to show you how it can be done, how it can be done very inexpensively, and just kind of give you some ideas for things that you can do that society and the economic powers that be don't want you to know. So stay with me for a second, and let me walk you through this. First, you need some land. This is my piece of land, which is under an acre, about 3/4 of an acre. And that's really all you need to take care of most of the needs you have and for running a small homestead. Now, I was lucky enough to get this piece of property from family. It was willed to me when my father passed away. But I have also purchased small pieces of property like this for under $400. I have an acre down in Arizona near Sholo, Arizona that I purchased for under $400. I have 5 acres near El Paso, Texas that I purchased for under $700. So it's very easy to find a piece of land if you do some looking around. eBay is a good source for finding land. Tax sales are a good source for finding land. Family members may want to sell off a piece of land. Go around looking in rural areas, and maybe you'll find a farmer that wants to split off a small piece of land and would gladly sell you one. You don't have to spend a lot of money on land, okay? This is land that doesn't have utilities run to it. It doesn't have a blacktop road that runs into it or driveway. It's rough land. That's what you start with usually if you want to buy a small piece of land that you're going to homestead on. After you have your piece of land, then you're going to have a house. You can have a big house like most people live in, and you can pay a lot of money for it and have a mortgage and be a slave to the system for another 30 years, or you can decide if you'd like to build a smaller house like mine. Paid for with cash. This is my solar cabin. The cabin cost me $2,000 to build. That does not include the doors and windows, which I salvaged off of a trailer that was being torn down. For the cabin, it cost me $2,000. It is 14 by 14. Downstairs is living area, dining area, bathroom, kitchen. Upstairs, I have a loft, bedroom, and an office. In my other videos, I take you on a complete walkthrough of this cabin, so watch those if you want to see how the cabin is as large as it is and functional on the inside. Up there on my roof, you see my solar panels. That's a 350-watt solar system that provides all of my electricity needs for lights, TVs, water pumps, all miscellaneous gadget, laptop, TV, run my vacuum, and everything else off of a 350-watt system. That 350-watt system cost me under $3,000. $2,000 for the cabin, $3,000 for the power system of solar electricity, and I use propane. I have a propane tank in the back of the cabin, and I have a propane furnace, fridge, stove, and on-demand water heater, and those cost me just about $200 for an entire year. And we have cold winters here, folks. Under $200 for an entire year for all of my propane. That is the only utility bill I have. I do not pay for electricity. I do not pay for water because I drilled my own water well. Before I drilled my own water well, though, I hauled water in. But drilling a water well on a piece of property is not that hard. You can either do it yourself or hire somebody to do it. So I have no monthly utility bills. I have a house that's completely paid for. And I have freedom. A freedom that you can't get when you're under the pressure of a mortgage and utility bills. I want you to take just a minute and think about what you could do with your life if you had no house payments and no utility bills. And I'm telling you, it is completely possible. I'm not going to go into any details of how to get out of the house that you're in. You're going to have to figure that out and talk to some professionals for some help that way. All I'm here to do is tell you it's completely possible. Now, some of you are looking at the cabin and saying, yeah, but I couldn't possibly live in anything that small. This cabin was designed specifically for additions to be built on any of three sides. As you can see, the cabin has no windows on any of the three sides. There is a window in the back door glass. The sides are 14 by 14. The cabin was built to have shed additions built on all three sides. This cabin is 400 square feet approximately inside with 200 square foot footprint. When you add on additions, you could add on an additional 400 square feet on either side and off the back, giving you anywhere from 800 to 1,200 square feet. The great thing about building a small cabin to start out with, though, is it gives you a place to live when you build on your additions, and that way you can wait and live very cheaply without any house payments or utility bills, and then when you have the money, you can build on the additions to expand the cabin. That's very good for a single person or a young couple who don't have children because you don't need a whole lot of space to start off with. This way you can save for it, build on as you want to, have the additions, have the extra room if that's what you want. Now, I live full-time in this cabin. I live by myself, but my girlfriend comes up here on the weekends, and we stay together, and let me tell you, it's perfectly comfortable. We don't feel cramped at all, and we'd much rather have a small place like this. It takes a lot less money to heat. It takes a lot less money to cool. It's a lot easier to clean. It's just a fantastic home. Now, I'm not trying to push you into building a home exactly like mine. I'm just trying to provide you with some ideas. If you wanted to come up with different ideas, a different plan, that's just fine by me. But if you are interested in learning how to build a home like mine, I do have an ebook available and a printed book available called Simple Solar Homesteading. Go to www.simplesolarhomesteading.com. You can learn how to build a cabin like mine or at least get some great ideas for building your own home. Now I want to repeat, I own my land. I have a house that I built for under $2,000. I have a solar electric system that I have for under $3,000. I use propane, which costs me under $200 a year. I have no house payments. I have no utility bills. If you want a life like this, it is very possible. You can stop listening to the media, and you can stop being put under society's pressures to live in the type of houses that everyone tells you you have to live in. You can live very inexpensively. And you can do this at any age, whether you're older or younger. If you're younger and you start in a place like this, imagine the amount of money that you would have to retire on with no house payments, no utility bills, and freedom. Thank you for joining me, folks. Please watch the rest of my videos for more detailed information on each of the systems and a complete walkthrough of the cabin.
And in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, he has one of the principles of success is auto suggestion. That's why we play this. We're going to continue to play this every day until we purchase that 25 acres. Excuse me, not 25. Well, maybe it will be 25 acres. But this 5 acres and then build our solar cabins on each one of these. It's interesting, talk about it. There's a serious disturbing trend. Now, you can go on YouTube and there are people living in their cars and trucks and vans and all that. Some of them are doing, like many of them are doing it on purpose and they're doing well. They're prospering. But I was talking to a friend of mine that I went to high school with a few minutes ago, and he was telling me about another mutual friend of ours. Actually, well, one, and then it's another guy I know, that they're living at McDonald's. The first thing I thought, McDonald's closed up, 11, 12, midnight or something like that. But there are some McDonald's, and I imagine some place like New York or Los Angeles that have 24-hour McDonald's. But this is right outside of D.C. So this guy, him and another person that I know of, I know this one guy, but the other guy I know of. So the two guys I know, these guys are in their early 60s, late 50s, early 60s, living at McDonald's. So I said, look, I can help these guys. I could build a tiny house for them. But, you know, we got to have a place to place it where they don't have to, you know, up and move it. So that's one of our missions for this week for them. But apparently there is, I mean, that's really disturbing, man. I mean, that's rough if you got to live at McDonald's. And nobody's been forcing them out of there. So we're going to go more into detail on that, on how we can, because we can pull a labor force out of McDonald's. And build homes. And speaking of which, now let me go to Rose, the person I wanted to feature today, Rose Meta Morgan. Rose Meta Morgan, originally born in Mississippi, I think at age 7, her parents moved her to Chicago. She grew up in Chicago. From Chicago, she was doing hair. I think she started doing hair professionally at like something like 14 years old. And then she moved to New York City around when she was a young woman, something like 18 to 21, somewhere around there. And did very well there. Came out with her own line of cosmetics, Rose Meta beauty products. Had the world at that time, the world's largest hair salon. And it was a block long and about 5 stories high. And she later on married the boxer champion Joe Louis. Now, she was rich before she married Joe Louis. And truth be told, she was a lot more wealthier than Joe Louis. Okay, Joe Louis only got paid when he fought. This woman had a sales force that sold product for it. She saw the market that was changing, so she sold her beauty product line to a gentleman named S.B. Fuller. Now, Rose Meta Morgan, she was basically in New York City. That's where her business, you know, that's where she got wealthy, New York City. All right. When the market was changing and she didn't want to, you know, go along with the new changes, she sold the beauty products line to S.B. Fuller. And S.B. Fuller, who was based out of Chicago, he took it, he changed the name of Rose Meta Products to Fuller Products. And then he set up a national marketing team, sales and marketing team. And I found that out from reading Joe Louis Dudley Sr.'s book, because when he got into the company, he was broke and was looking for a business opportunity to make some money. So he saw somebody in his neighborhood in New York City going door to door under the name of, they were selling Rose Meta beauty products. And Dutt Fuller just got in to taking over that. So that's when Joe Dudley Sr. Got into it. And then later on, he developed his own product line. Actually, but anyway, we'll go through Dudley another day, because the person I want to focus in is on Rose Meta Morgan, she's a Jim Crow millionaire, because basically she became a multimillionaire during the Jim Crow era. On our Blog Talk scrolling marquee, there's a picture of her, black woman, so part of the Jim Crow millionaire theme of it is no excuses. And you got to think about this with a lot of your Jim Crow millionaires. Not all of them, but many of them. They didn't have a telephone. And thank you, Pleasant Sims, for bringing that up. Many of them didn't have a telephone. Because at one point during the Jim Crow era in the United States, nobody had a telephone. Number two, no smartphones, obviously. No tablets, no computers, no desktops, no laptops, no internet. Yet they became millionaires. Annie Malone, Madam C.J. Walker, Abraham Lincoln Lewis, who was probably the first millionaire in the state of Florida, if not the first black millionaire in the state of Florida. Black couple, Clearview Golf Course up in Ohio. So there were, I mean, plenty of black millionaires that existed during the Jim Crow era. You know what? I'm going to even throw Booker T. Washington in there because he was a former slave, started off life as a slave. When he started Tuskegee, their first building, the first place they held classes was a shed. They needed money to grow and expand, and they didn't really have it, so they learned how to make bricks, and they learned how to make nails. And by teaching the students that, putting that in the curriculum, that's how the first buildings at Tuskegee got built. And since they learned how to make bricks and nails, they were the only brick makers and nail makers in Tuskegee, Alabama at that time. And their customer base that grew that university due to the fact that they were manufacturing their own bricks and manufacturing their own nails. That's why they're there today. That's how they got it bankrolled. But they didn't have any telephones. No smartphones, no tablets, no computers, none of that. None of the luxuries and conveniences that we have today. And they also had one thing that we got plenty of today. They didn't have any excuses. No excuses. The Jim Crow millionaires didn't have any excuses. We got too many excuses today. So, read up on Rose Metamorgan, very inspirational person. And she's part of our Jim Crow Millionaire series. We've featured on here, let's count them. I can't even remember them all. Today, Rose Metamorgan, Annie Malone, Madam C.J. Walker, Sarah Rector, Joseph Jake Simmons Jr., Oil Baron Tycoon, that's five, A.B. Lincoln Lewis, American Beach Tycoon and Insurance Tycoon, Gaskin out of Alabama, Barrel Insurance Tycoon and Real Estate Tycoon, Laura Douglas, daughter-in-law of Frederick Douglass. They got turned down from a hotel because of their race. So instead of marching and protesting and complaining, they went out and bought 40 acres of land in Anne Arundel County, Maryland. Now that's Harbor Beach, Maryland. That's eight. Betty Mason started off life as a slave, eventually moved to Los Angeles, California, became a real estate tycoon. Mother Priscilla Baltimore started off life as a slave, bought her freedom, bought the freedom of her mother and some other family members, along with 11 other families, moved to Illinois and started a Freedom Village. And a Freedom Village is a town that was started by slaves. The name of the Freedom Village that exists at Madam Priscilla Baltimore founded still exists today is Brooklyn, Illinois. These are all Jim Crow millionaires. Absolutely, positively, no excuses. Like I say, now we're working on getting this 5 acres. Anybody wants any input on that, let me know. 407 area code, your mic is open.
Good morning, LA. This is Fiaka in Florida. And my question was, how many of those people had a college degree?
You know what? Even Booker T. Washington, I don't even know if he had one, but he was a university president.
So the point is that we have had an educational system that has pushed college degrees to almost our detriment. I mean, some people become successful. Of course, some people become doctors, lawyers, whatever, with their college degree. But these days, I think the problem is the student loans that people take out to get that college degree, and then they don't even they have to keep working to pay off the student loan. So I think that's one of the problems with our educational system is that the focus has been way too much on a college degree and far too little on entrepreneurship and developing your skills in elementary school and high school so that you don't even need a college degree. So that's one of the things I'm working on to educate parents about how to help their children be successful. It doesn't have to mean a college degree and all that money they spend. I mean, you think about how much money parents invest in a college degree, and is that worth the money that they come when they come out and get a career that sometimes they're not even happy in? You know, they get a career that they're making a lot of money, but are they happy in that career? So then stress kicks in, and they're sick, and then they have to change their career anyway because they never really liked it, but it makes a lot of money. You know, it's like doctors. I'll give you an example. My son went to on a trip with a friend of his who's now a surgeon. And his friend told him, you know, this is not all it was promoted to be. This life is very stressful, basically. I'm paraphrasing. So even in his money making position as a surgeon, he is turning out that, you know, he's not really that happy in this position, although he has the skills, but there's a lot of stress behind that, so that not everybody can handle it, and probably he's one of those who can, but he's really starting to wake up to the reality that this is not all fun and games.
I got a friend of mine who's an MD as well, and she looks at it as like a 9-to-5 that she really doesn't like going to. Now, this is a doctor. Okay.
Exactly.
So she's looking for a way to get out of it.
Well, doctors are turning to alternative. They're turning to alternative care and something that doesn't have the red tape, bureaucracy, and the confusion that medical system has these days. So, yeah, people have to make changes. When they do get a college degree, a lot of people aren't even happy. And so it's important, I think, we guide our children into a career, whether it's college or not, that they have a passion about, and that they are able to balance it with some fun time and stress-reducing activities.
You know, the people, you asked that question, how many got a college degree? Out of the IRA, Booker T. Washington attended Hampton Institute, and Joseph Jake Simmons Jr. out of Oklahoma, I think he attended college. But going to, we'll start with Jake Simmons, his wealth didn't come from that college degree. His wealth came from the family business that had nothing to do with college. They were cattle ranchers and oil tycoons. That's where they made their money. And that's where he made his wealth. And then Booker T. Washington, like I said, although he graduated from Hampton Institute, when he went to Tuskegee, okay, like I said, their first building or classroom was a shed. And they didn't have any money to build buildings. So he, along with the other teachers and students, had to learn a trade, making bricks and making nails. And then that's how that whole institution financially got on its feet.
So we've come full circle, because that's what training is needed now in our schools. Carpentry, building, and more technical skills are needed, because all these homeless people are saying they didn't have enough skills to adjust to that homeless situation and build a house or whatever. So yeah, we're back 180 degrees now. We need carpentry skills instead of college degrees.
Carpentry, auto mechanics. Soap making, cleaning products.
And that's really the need, because those people who became millionaires, I was looking at this woman that you're featuring today. She became a millionaire because there was a lot of nappy-headed women who didn't want to be nappy-headed anymore. And she became, she and the other black millionaire, the one who, I forget her name now, but the millionaire.
Madam
C.J. Walker. They capitalized on a population of nappy-headed women who wanted their hair straight. And they created products and tools. That was an ongoing sale for them.
They created their own schools to educate people. You know what? That gives me a good idea, because you're right. They saw a big market that was underserved. Because, like I said, when I was talking to one of my high school friends this morning, and he was telling me about a mutual high school friend, he was on the way to see him. I said, well, where is he living at? He said he's living at McDonald's. And I never even heard of that concept before. He says a lot of people living at McDonald's now.
So imagine in your new 5-acre place that you had a barn where you trained young men and women to fix cars. They would be millionaires, because if there's no auto repair shop in that area, people are going to be driving their cars, and those cars are going to need fixing. So somebody should have a skill to fix cars. That's the need. When I look at all the cars in these dealerships, I'm like, we have overproduced automobiles. It's like way too many automobiles in this country. They just sitting there. Every month I go to these automobile customer lounges and drop off magazines, and I look at the inventory. I'm like, this is ridiculous that they have all this inventory. So here, what's the need? Everybody's got a car now. We need people who know how to fix those cars, because I love my mechanic, and he has a small, simple shop. He is not fancy at all. All you got to do is build a barn and have some tools in there and something to lock them up, and you got a business going.
Well, you know, I like that concept of what you said, a barn. If you get a barn and pimp it out, because I'm thinking about going to McDonald's and we need a place to stay, because you can have people to teach them auto mechanics, and you can also have people there that need housing, because you can set that barn up as a dormitory. And they can do cars or build tiny houses or whatever else. So that's an excellent idea.
Right.
And you know what? That's what S.B. Fuller had a house in Chicago. And Dudley, I don't know if he still has it, but they had houses in Chicago for their salespeople that didn't have homes. So they had what they would call the big house. It was in Chicago somewhere. And then they let them stay there overnight and the weekends and all that. But when it came time for business in the morning, after breakfast, they put them out, and you couldn't come back in that house until after the business day was over. So I like that idea of a barn. So we're going to take that and apply it. All right. Well,
now this generation. This generation, I'm going to say, if you can connect the training to their phones, then you really got something going, because they can't put their phones down. So somehow we got to use their phones as part of their training, and then they'll probably be more interested.
Well, that's another brilliant idea. You're right, because everybody's got a phone almost. So, right, if we connect it to
an app.
These
Somebody
songs
got to create an app.
Auto Mechanics 101, an app for that, and Auto Mechanics 101 for carpentry. All that has to be on an app, because otherwise kids are just, they're going to be bored.
Well, we've got our marching instructions for this week, then. Thank you, Viola. On that note, everyone have a good rest of the day.